this past Sunday, the Lord weighed very heavily on my spirit to take some time to lead our congregation, the service, the online service, in prayer for our nation, in prayer for the things that have been going on, especially around the country. I sense that same level of liberty in the spirit tonight to actually devote tonight's service and this session to talking about some of these very, very important things that affect the world around us, affect lives, communities around us. And sometimes our human opinion and human reasoning becomes a hindrance to us being able to fully grasp what the mind of Christ is, what the mind of the Lord is on some of these areas. And so tonight I have a liberty from the Holy Spirit to delve a little bit into some of these things, and using the Word of God and the revelation, the light of revelation that I have, that He has given to me, to shed some light on some of these occurrences and some of these things going on in our nation, to help us as believers to pray, to help us as believers to know what to do, to know the right things that we ought to do, and to approach it from a biblical point of view, to have that understanding and to have that liberty in the spirit to be salt and light even in these times, and to be able to do it confidently and boldly. So that's really what I'm going to be doing tonight. Regardless of where you are joining us from, you might not be in the United States, but trust me, I know you know wherever you are, whatever nation you are, human imperfections are all over the world, and human discrimination, injustice, unfairness, and some of these inequalities exist just everywhere, wherever you are in the world. So you may not be in the United States, and you may not be dealing with a lot of the things that we are dealing with in this country right now, in addition to the pandemic. But wherever you are, you can learn some things, and the Lord can open your eyes to some things, and He can empower you through His Word in some of these areas where even in your own community, in your own nation, wherever you are, and you can approach some of these inequities, inequalities, some of these ungodly situations that are a product of human imperfections, you can approach them from a Bible-based platform or foundation. So I believe that this teaching tonight will be a blessing to all of us. So if you don't mind, please bow your heads with me and let's share a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you tonight for the opportunity that you've given to us to come around your word. I thank you, Lord, for your presence that is here so strong already. I thank you for the light, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, for illumination in the word of God. And I thank you for my brothers and my sisters, wherever they are, everyone that is under the sound of my voice tonight. I pray for them that the same grace and the same anointing that is right here in this studio will be transmitted through these systems into their lives, into their situations, wherever they are. That the Holy Spirit will move upon them like He's moving upon us here. And God, you will grant them grace and favor. Lord, you grant them understanding. Lord, speak through my tongue and think through my mind in the name of Jesus. Help me, God, to declare your will and what thus saith the Lord, not my mind, not my thoughts, not my opinions, O God, not the opinions of men. And grant us understanding, cause that our ears be inclined to your word. I thank you for it, Lord. I trust you that by the time this service is over tonight, we would have been elevated to a higher place than where we were at the beginning. I give you the glory and I give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight. Earlier today, I used the Bible app, and that's under the YouVersion. If any of you are familiar with that, I hope you do have that Bible app to wherever you are. That's a very powerful tool to have as a believer. Sometimes, in addition to being able to have it on our devices, read the Bible on the phones, iPads, and different things, sometimes I just personally just even like to just hear it. I just like the spoken word. I just like to have that Bible app playing the word of God from different parts of the scriptures. Sometimes when I'm awake and doing other things, sometimes when I'm in bed, sometimes when I wake up, or sometimes just before I go to bed, you know, and what a powerful blessing that has been. So, where usually I receive communications from them. Well, the communication I had from them today was they titled it a prayer for true justice, and they quoted one of the scriptures, the two scriptures that we prayed from in our service this past Sunday, from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I've printed out. Their communication is a couple of pages long. You see there where they quote that scripture, and they have it kind of under these bold headings: act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. All of that is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Now, they also have a few things they've put down there, and they have a prayer at the end of that this particular email that I'm going to have us pray at some point in this service. And I trust God I don't forget. If I forget, make sure you remind me somehow or the other. Get me that information so I can have us pray. I want us to pray that prayer. And as a matter of fact, because I found this so powerful, if you don't get communications from YouVersion and you want this particular one, I'm going to ask you to email us, send us an email. Usually we have it on our ticker somewhere at the beginning and at the end of the service. prayerrequests@aliconline.org, and send us an email there requesting that I'll see to it that one of our ministers can send that and forward that to as many people as requested. But I think that's so powerful, just what they talk about and the prayer there. All right. So, but that's not the only thing I received earlier today. Earlier today, I also received a letter from a beloved pastor out in the Midwest that blessed me so very strongly. And everything's really addressing what's going on right now. So, what I'm going to have us do, I'm going to have us go back to what we did on Sunday. We read from Matthew chapter 5. And I really feel a great liberty in the spirit. Some of the things that I'm going to share tonight, I typically don't take the liberty to share on the pulpit, just because I know a lot of times, you know, people tend to mix human opinion with what does say the Lord, and these are areas where we need to be extremely careful. This is a hallowed responsibility that we have to be able to minister the word of God, and I don't ever want to use that for anything that is personal, anything that is in my mind, or things like that. You know, it's so important that we reverence this privilege and this opportunity, and that we walk as barefooted priests and follow the Holy Spirit as He guides us. So that's what we always endeavor to do. And tonight, I'm so thankful that I have that liberty in the Spirit to delve into some of these things. Now, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to try to move along real quickly. A number of the things that I'm going to say, I'm going to read directly to you from my notes and, of course, from some of these things that I have printed out here. So forgive me that I may not be looking into the camera right through our service tonight, but I want you to be able to hear me. Some of these things are so important, and they are delicate, that it's important we don't just speak from emotion. We don't just speak from how we feel. But that we speak as much as possible, as best as we can, from a position of thus saith the Lord. So that's why I have taken the time to write down quite a number of the things that I'm going to say to you tonight about this topic. Like I said, I've devoted this service to talking about it. When we got hit, when the world got hit with COVID-19, coronavirus pandemic, I know that I devoted the initial services to talking about it, talking to the saints, encouraging believers, and giving us direction from the Word of God, instruction, inspiration, and things like that. This is quite prevalent in our society right now, what is going on with all the unrest, the tragedies and everything. And I sense a similar release in the Spirit of God to address some of these things and speak to you directly about it and encourage you from the Word of God. All right, so I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5 and also from the from Micah chapter 6 verse 8, with the YouVersion guys actually quoted. But before I read from the Bible directly, let me read their notes. This is YouVersion's notes. It says, "Our hope for the YouVersion community is for each person to be on a journey drawing closer to God and seeking His heart every day. As a community, we have a lot we need to talk about. What happened to George Floyd and to many others before him, and what continues to happen, is tragic, heartbreaking, and unjust. These things should never happen to anyone. We should celebrate the diversity of our global church, but we must also address the disparity that continues to exist. We have a lot of work to do together, uniting in love as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray for boldness that can only come from our Savior to confront the injustices and the racism in our world." That's so powerful. I love that. That's so powerful. So very powerful. And like I said, when I finish with some part of this, I'm going to come back. I want us to pray their prayer. They have that prayer there. They've titled a prayer for true justice. And I really love it. I love it very much. So in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 13, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, 13 and 14, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" It says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, I'm going to read those two scriptures, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to read both of those scriptures from the Message. I really like the, I did that on Sunday as well. I like the way the Message put it. It says there in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, how will it be made salty again?" It's talking to the church. It's talking to believers. And it says, "It is no longer good for anything except to be trampled on by people." So this is actually not the translation I'm looking for. This is the God's word. I'm looking for the Message. Because in the Message, it talks about, it has two words there, God flavors and God colors. And I really like that. I like the allusion that it makes to God. God flavors, the fact that God is this broad, this multi ethnic, multi, extremely diverse person. I mean, just look at His creation. Look at everything about Him. You see, you find out God is truly diverse. He's not a one color, one flavor person. He's the God of all creation. Hallelujah. You look at the flowers, and you look at the greens, and you look at the oceans, you look at the skies, you look at the stars, you look at the sun, you look at the works of His hands, and you see the diversity in God's creation. Amen. So it talks about God's flavors and God's colors. Let me read this again. Let me tell you why you are here. This is Matthew 5:13 in the Message. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you will end up in the garbage. Then it says in verse 14, here is another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. I really like that. Talking about the church reflecting, the church exhibiting the flavors of God, the colors of God. And I remember saying on Sunday, the church is not a cultural or political body, but we're a spiritual force, salting the earth and bringing the light of God's goodness so that He alone is glorified. Remember that. I know there's so many things going on out in the world today. There's so many things, people commenting on this, people saying this, and you know, all sorts of expressions and opinions and things like that. But just remember, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So keep that in mind. You are not cultural. You're not political. You are a spiritual. We're a spiritual house, the Bible says, and we're built on the foundation. The solid rock, the chief cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are built on the foundation of the prophets, the apostles, and things like that. But keep in mind, we're a spiritual house. We're not a political house. We're not a social group. We're not a cultural phenomenon. We are a spiritual house. And it's very important as a child of God, whatever it is, whatever positions you take, when you contribute in discussions, when you post on social media, when you don't be a part of the problem, be a part of the solution. Amen? Very important. All right. Now, I just want to read something real quickly because it talks about God flavors and God colors. Now, we already know this, but I told you I wanted to take the liberty to just give us instructions from the Word of God. And I know time goes so quickly sometimes. I wish that time, that clock, would kind of just hold back. I wish actually I could actually control it sometimes and hold it back so it's not moving as fast, because I can imagine I've already spent 20 minutes and we're just getting started. All right. This is Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And I think I should read this. Let's read that. Acts 17:26. Let's read that from the Amplified. It says, God made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and the fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlement, land, and abodes. I just want you to see, God is responsible for the human experience. He created all of us. But I want you to notice here, he says he created us from one origin, from one source, one blood. So all of us are the same. Even though we all manifest, we all reflect these colors and these flavors of God in different ways, we are one. We are all the same. Now, it's important that we remind ourselves and remind one another about that from time to time, right? Regardless of what our races are, regardless of the races of the people that we are interacting with, or the races of the people that we may be upset with or angry with or criticizing, or remember, he created us all from one origin. We're one. We're one. It is the will of God that you and I will constantly be a reminder to the earth, a reminder to the world around us, that all of God's children are one. Now, if we're born again, if you're born again, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So people may be out in the world, they don't have Christ. We're all still from one common origin, that natural blood of Adam. But if you are born again, we even actually then we're in this exclusive club, which God didn't really want to be exclusive. He wanted the entire world to be a part of, but everybody does not accept that invitation. But those of us who have are in this exclusive club, regardless of your race, regardless of your gender, regardless of where you were born. Remember, the Word of God said there in Acts 17, God determined all of these boundaries, all of these places, all of this time. And certainly he's the only one who has the right to determine a change to those things that he created. No human being has a right to take the life of another human being. No human being has the right to determine any of the destiny details that God created and wired his creation with. So it is very, very important. Praise God for the blessings of having authorities and government and all of that. But God put those people in place to work in conjunction with his plan. They're not supposed to go contrary to the plan of God. So this is really important. Now, I want to read to us from Galatians, and I'm going to read this one from the message as well. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, I think I should read that. And I'm just one verse there. And that's where he talks, if you read that in other verses, it's in other translations, versions of the Bible, talks about in Christ we're all one, right? There's no division, there's no male, no female, no Jew, no Greek, and all of that. But I like the way he puts it here in the message. He says, in Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among us, you are all equal. Equal. And equal means equal. Equal means equal. There are no superior races and there are no inferior races. There are no in superior genders and there are no inferior genders. Amen. And even based on our occupation, based on what we do, in Christ, there are no slaves and there are no masters, right? This is extremely important. Now, you find out, of course, one of the tools that the enemy uses in the world to create divisions are some of these different descriptions of the human experience or the human parameters that describe the human nature or characterize who we are based on where we're born, based on the color of our skin, based on our gender, based on different things. But the Bible says that in Christ, we are all equal. We're all equal. And in society and in communities where that is not fully embraced, there's gonna be problems. There's gonna be problems, and there is no society that is perfect. As a matter of fact, in our society here in the United States, we're probably closer to some of these specific details of the way our unity and our union and our equality is supposed to be expressed than there are in so many other nations. But it is so very important to keep in mind that at the root of a lot of evil in community, in society, and sometimes even in the church, is these specific things not being elevated and not being embraced the way the Word of God actually teaches it. Some of you might be students of history, and you might recall that, I might read one or two little lines from this pastor's letter talking about that. You might recall that even slavery had its origin in some quote-unquote priests who were brandishing the Bible, claiming that world evangelization would actually be enhanced by slavery. And a lot of the roots of the racial tensions and the divisions that are in the world today came from that wrong, foul belief. And that wrong, foul belief that has now been ingrained sometimes into society, ingrained into minds of men and women, ingrained into people all over the world. And I'm not just talking ungodly people, sometimes ingrained into people in the body of Christ that believe that some people are inferior and some people are superior and we're not. But I just read to you from the Word of God where it says every one of God's creation is equal. And it says, in Christ, we are equal. Now, in Micah, the book of Micah, thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us grace, an acceleration. Help us cover the things that need to be covered in this service without the pressure of wanting to keep within time and without the pressure of being so focused on that time. The grace for us to be able to just enjoy the Word of God and enjoy the teaching in the Word and receive everything that the Lord has for us for this service. I receive that grace and I speak it into the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. Now, in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God." That is the King James. I want to read that to you from the Message, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He says, "But God has already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously." Amen. I like that. I really like that. Do what is fair. Do what is just, what is equitable, what is kind, what is merciful, what is good, what is humble. Don't be vindictive. Don't be unfair. Don't be unjust. Don't be divisive. Don't be racist and don't fan the flames of it in any way, shape, or form. Don't be destructive. Don't be evil. Don't be patronizing. Don't be entitled. Don't be haughty. You know, I'm just going to make a side comment here just to say that there's a lot of negativity that a lot of people are reacting against in our society. But how we react is extremely important. We cannot swing over from one level of evil and take on another level of evil in the name of trying to correct that first evil. God does not dwell in evil. Bible says everything about God is good, right? And I'm going to show you in the Word of God, right from the early church, where there was a protest. You know, it's amazing to me that even in the early church, in the early days of the move of the Holy Spirit, in the thick, right there in the thick of some of the greatest things the Holy Spirit was doing, there was discrimination. I mean, it's difficult to fathom how that can even be a reality. But it is so. It is in the Word of God. And yet, the Word of God condones how that was protested and how that was rejected and how people spoke against it and refused to embrace it. But the Word of God never condones swinging over to this other level of evil and destroying lives and destroying property and destroying and creating chaos in the society in the name of we want to correct something that is unjust. I just want to throw that out there because I may not have the opportunity to come back to it later on. So there's no room for that. There's no room for that. You may have seen some of the photos on TV, some of the pictures, people stealing, looting, hurting one another. And, you know, that is just, and unfortunately, I'm just going to say this. People who do that in times of crisis like this, they'll do it and they may get away with it. The problem, though, is they're also going to continue to do it because they're fanning the flames of something within them. So they're going to do it even outside of crisis times and they're going to get in trouble. That's really the big problem. See, they'll do it now when they'll get away with it. But in addition, they're going to continue to do it at other times, and then they'll get in big trouble. And some of them, unfortunately, may get in bigger trouble than they ever imagined. So I just want to throw that out there because I'm probably not going to have the time to come back and talk about that. But there's no room for any of that. All right, glory be to God. Now, I want to say something here from Micah, from the book of Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 here. Notice here, he says, do God expect of us to do what is just? And I isolated racism. And there's a reason I did that, because right now, it's one of the biggest things that we're grappling with. I mean, it's not new, but it's just right now, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, when they say the birds have come home to roost, you know, it's like the cup is full, right? The cup of iniquity. And I know it has been full at different seasons and it boils over and things happen and things quieten again and we continue. But I do believe that things are happening to challenge the fabric of our society, the inequalities that exist. And they're not going to be solved in one day. They're not going to be changed altogether in one day. But it's a good first step to recognize that this is not the will of God for our nation. It's a good first step to identify, to recognize, this is not okay. This is not the will of God. This is not God's plan for his creation. And then, having taken that first step, then as a church, we can begin to find our place in, okay, what's our role? And we can trust God as we take our role, our place in prayer, as we take our place in the other spiritual things that we can do. We can also take our place in other ways, like they did in the book of the Acts. Now, I just want to quickly make a couple of points here. I want to focus on racism because it's one of the biggest things that we're talking about right now. That's really responsible for a lot of the evil that is going on in our society. Remember that the Bible says in Mark chapter 3, verse 25, that was Jesus, I think he said. He said, a house that is divided against itself, I hope I got that right. He said, a house or a kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. Cannot stand. Racism is one of the greatest evils, is a foul spirit from hell that Satan uses to tear communities and nations apart. Racism is one of those foul spirits from the pits of hell. Remember, the Bible says in Psalm 133, God loves unity. It says how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. And it talks about all the blessings that flow as a result of that. Well, guess what? When there is racism, because racism is one of the tools that the enemy uses to create division. And once there is division, everything is torn apart. Things are broken. There are evils that are created in communities, in societies that are not healed easily. And so the enemy knows that. The enemy understands. As a matter of fact, how much time do I have here? Not much, because I still have to get into my main stuff here. I want us to read together. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs, where it talks about, you know, the seven things the Lord hates or detests the most. And I want to just read that to you. It's in Proverbs chapter 6. That's from verse 16 to 19. And I'm going to read this from the God's Word translation. That's one of the, a lot of the translations are very good, but I really like the God's Word translation for this one. This is Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 16 to 19 in the God's Word translation. Listen to what it says. I have Proverbs 16. I'm looking for Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 from verse 16 to 19, God's Word translation. There you go. All right, here it goes. It says, there are six things that the Lord hates, even seven that are disgusting to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill innocent people, a mind devising wicked plans, feet that are quick to do wrong, a dishonest witness spitting out lies, as the second time he mentions lying, and a person who spreads conflict. A person who spreads conflict. You won't be wrong to say someone who fans the flames of division. The Bible says God hates it. In fact, he hates it almost more than the first six. Anyone who is a part of tearing people apart is not working for God. He's working for the enemy. Because we are created in the image of God as one. And so it's very important to keep this in mind. People who fan the flames of racism or division of any kind are not serving God. They are serving Satan. God wants us to come together. He doesn't want us pulled apart. Satan wants to destroy us by tearing us apart. This is very important. As a child of God and as children of God, we've got to recognize that and we've got to admit that. And we've got to say, okay, that is the truth of the Word of God. And there are no questions, there are no ifs or buts about that. Now, I know sometimes some of these conversations are very uncomfortable. And sometimes it's easy for us to say, okay, we don't want to focus on this one part. Let's just talk about everything. Like, you know, there are other things that are wrong. Yes, then there are this, there's this, and there's that. And that's true. There's so many other things that are wrong. But you know what? As long as we keep modding everything up, and we keep saying, let's just talk about everything that is wrong, then we will never break through and get the light of God on any of those areas where something is wrong. In this season, there's a lot of upheaval in the world, in our society, in this nation, as a result of this particular situation. Discrimination, racism, injustice, unfair treatment of certain groups of people and things like that. It is extremely important that we take the time to zero in on that and take the Word of God, take the mind of Christ and address that. Yeah, probably the time may come when it's necessary for us to look at the other things that we've talked about or sometimes we're very concerned about, right? And yeah, we will get into that. But let's not conflate the need to do that, do this whole thing and try to deal with everything with the importance of isolating things that we recognize, especially things that are deeply rooted, that have been deeply rooted for generations in a society or in a nation. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the liberty that you are giving us. All right. I'm going to move right on here. I'm missing a few things, but I'm going to keep going. And if the Lord has me devoting another service, if there's a need for it, I don't think there will be, but if there's a need for it in the future, then I'll take the liberty and do it again. I want to talk a little bit as we go here about discrimination and the human experience, the sin and the evil of discrimination and the human experience. It's very important to keep in mind, wherever there are imperfect people, imperfections will exist. Wherever there are imperfect people, imperfections will exist. Discrimination, racism, injustice, and all of these inequalities that we talk about are just imperfections of the human nature. And they exist all over the world, really. I mean, I've seen racism in some of the funniest parts of the world. You know, even amongst the same kind of people who look exactly the same. Sometimes there's racism. Sometimes they try to kind of create division like, well, you are not from this particular village. You know, your parents, your father or your mother did not come from this particular root. We are the origin. So trust me, this is not just an American or European or any of this. This is all over the world, but it's very important that we address it because it's something really big in our nation that we're dealing with right now. Now, I want you to, I won't be able to read all of this, but in Acts chapter 6, in Acts chapter 6, in the middle of the greatest revival the world had ever known, there were manifestations of imperfections because of the existence of imperfect people. Right there, right there, in the midst of the greatest revival that the world had ever known, right there, the imperfections of the human nature showed up. Because you have to remember in Acts chapter 6, this is the chapter right after Acts chapter 5, right? Acts chapter 5 was the chapter where Holy Spirit was moving. You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, the drop dead based on money issues. Their hearts were wrong. Holy Spirit judged them right there and then. And shortly after that, revival broke out. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. Miracles were happening. The church, all sorts of glorious things were happening. This is Acts chapter 5. And we come into Acts chapter 6 verse 1. And listen to Acts chapter 6 verse 1. This is the Message translation. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. During this time, as the disciples were increasing in numbers by leaps and bounds, hard feelings developed among the Greek-speaking believers. These were Greeks. So this was a racial problem. Hard feelings developed among the Greek-speaking believers. They were called Hellenists. Toward the Hebrew-speaking believers, these were the original Jews. These Greek-speaking believers were called the Grecians in some of the other versions of the Bible. This was a racial problem in the early church. He says, because their widows were being discriminated against in the daily food lines. Think about this for a minute. In this church, with the move of the Holy Spirit, like never has been seen before, here you have the poor. They had this ministry where they were helping the poor people. They gathered poor people from the entire church, people who needed things and who needed help and things like that. They put lines in them. And right there, there were minorities. Right, there were minorities there, and then there were people who were in the majority. And right there and then, in the midst of this Holy Spirit move, the minorities were being discriminated against. And their widows and their needy ones were being, you know, they were being shortchanged. Some of the more popular ones who had their people in high positions of authority, who had access to the food, will give good portions. I mean, I experienced this. I know many of us, if you studied in like a boarding school, you must have experienced this at some level or the other. Because there were people like in those boarding schools who were like maybe either the seniors or they were the officials amongst the students. And the people they liked or the people in their tribes or the people in their cliques, they usually found ways of taking care of those people. And then you had these other little people who didn't really know many people, who didn't really have any connections or whatever. And they were always despised and always shortchanged and always left behind. And this right here in Acts chapter 6 verse 1 was a racial problem. Right in the church. With the Holy Ghost moving. Right there in the church. Racial problems. I really like the way the Amplified Bible puts this. The Amplified Bible, Amplified Version, talks about how those Grecians, those Greeks, those Hellenists, how they reacted to it. Listen to this. This is the Amplified. It says, now about this time, when the number of the disciples was greatly increasing, complaint was made by the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked and neglected in the daily ministration, the distribution of relief. There's a translation. I'm going to find it in just a minute here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. I think it might be the basic Bible English translation. Let me see if I can find that one. It talks about them. Okay, it's not that. Let me just search through. It talks about them protesting. That's the word I'm looking for here. It talks about these Greeks were protesting because of the way they were treated. And remember, this was a racial problem. All right. I don't want to spend my time looking for it, so I'm gonna move on, and hopefully if I need to, I will come back to it. All right. But essentially, he talks about them protesting the racial injustice. He talked about them complaining. Now, one of the things that blessed me the most in Acts chapter 6 was when they complained to the apostles. The apostles didn't say, oh, forget it, that's just how it is. You know, some things in life are just that way. They don't change. That's the way the system is. No, they didn't say that. And they also didn't say, oh, just don't say nothing about it. Just swallow it. That's part of your Christian cross. No, they didn't say that either. They actually did something about it. Now, no way I'm going to finish this today. Absolutely no way I'm going to finish this. But we're going to pray that prayer. And did you say BBE? Is that BBE? BBE? Oh, thank you. I got some help here. BBE is the BBE translation. Thank you. I thought it was, but I couldn't find it. Maybe in my hurry. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Thank you. I was reading. I couldn't see the word. Now, this is the basic Bible English translation. It says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, protests were made by the Greek Jews against the Hebrews because their widows were not taken care of in the distribution of food every day. Thank you. Protests. Now, they were not destroying anything, but they protested. And I did have a lot of scriptures. I certainly knew there's no way I was going to be able to get to all of it, knowing the way time, sometimes time is just so unfair. It's just so unfair on us. But I kind of knew I was not going to be able to get through everything. But think about that for a minute. This is right in the midst of a revival. However, the apostles didn't say, oh, just forget about it. Listen to what the apostles did. The Bible says, then the apostles, the 12, called the multitude of the people together. Actually, I'm going to read that to you. Let's go back and read that from the Message. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. So the 12 apostles called a meeting of the Gentiles. They said it wouldn't be right for us to abandon our responsibilities for preaching and teaching the word of God to help with the care of the poor. I really love that. And, you know, when we read in Matthew chapter 5 earlier, I was saying something about when the Bible says we're the light of the world, and it says that we are the salt of the earth. I was saying something about, as the church is not cultural and we're not political, we're a spiritual house. But it doesn't mean we don't have a role to play in the culture. And it doesn't mean we don't have a role to play in the politics. It just means our primary purpose and our primary preoccupation, our primary place is spiritual. And that's exactly what the apostles are saying here. They're saying, well, something needs to be done about this situation, but we can't afford to leave our primary purpose, abandon that, to deal with that. No, they says, we're going to deal with that, but we're going to make sure that we keep doing our primary purpose. All right, listen to what they said. So they called a meeting of the disciples, and they said, it wouldn't be right for us to abandon our responsibilities for preaching and teaching the word of God to help with the care of the poor. So friends, choose 7 men from among you, whom everyone trusts, men full of the Holy Spirit and good sense, and we will assign them this task. Meanwhile, we will stick to our assigned tasks of prayer and speaking God's word. I love that. Verse 5, the congregation thought this was a great idea. They went ahead and they chose, I want you to notice, they picked 7 people. It's very interesting to me. One of the 7 people was a guy called Nicholas. was actually a representative of the group of people that were complaining that their widows were being neglected. They were being discriminated against. So when they picked these seven anointed Holy Spirit-filled deacons to help solve the problem of discrimination that was going on, they saw to it that one of the representatives, a guy named Nicholas, this guy was actually converted. He was one of those Grecians who was converted to Christianity. They made sure, and I bet you, it wasn't just Nicholas, some of these other guys, they made sure they picked people that were representative of the group to ensure that there was fairness, there was balance, and there was proper oversight. That's what the apostles did using the wisdom of God. And because the apostles did that, listen to how the Bible, how the story ends here. It says, then they presented them to the apostles. Look at the names of the people. They picked Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a convert from Antioch. Then they presented them to the apostles, praying the apostles laid hands and commissioned them for their task. And then in verse 7, the word of God prospered. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased dramatically. Not least, a great many of the priests submitted themselves in faith to God. Look at what happens when the wisdom of God is in operation. When the wisdom of God is in operation, whether it's in a family or in a community or in a nation, you don't have an escalation of crisis. You don't have an escalation of turbulence. The wisdom of God, the Bible says, is always peaceable. The wisdom of God is always looking for a way to bring things together, to calm things down. He says it's easily entreated. It has good fruits. You see the good fruits of the wisdom of God here. I want you to notice that in this situation of the early church, the apostles didn't themselves abandon their task, but they did three major things. They gave instructions, and this, listen to this. The apostles took steps to ensure three major things happened to solve this problem of discrimination that was going on in the early church. Number one, they ensured balanced representation. Balance, that's very important. Number two, they ensured fairness or kindness, brotherly kindness. They brought the people together. They mixed them all together. They got the whole church, the congregation. They didn't pick one section of the congregation. They brought the whole congregation, including those that were protesting. They brought them all together. And they said, all right, we're going to let you pick seven people. And they told them what qualifications they needed. And these qualifications didn't have to do with the races. They noticed the apostles didn't say to them, in addition to being filled with the Holy Ghost, having the wisdom of God, make sure that some of them are Hebrews. Make sure that, no, they didn't say that. But the congregation then picked, and they picked with this balanced representation, fairness or brotherly kindness, and unbiased oversight. Unbiased oversight. Now, and all of this became implemented. All of this became implemented. I'm going to stop. I'm going to find a good place to stop here. I'm going to find a place to land here and stop. I want you to see here, even from the situation in the Word of God, that human imperfections are not uncommon. Some of these things that happen in our lives, in our communities, in our families. Think about it. Even families where you have siblings or you have people in the same family, in the same nuclear family. Sometimes they divisive things can happen amongst them. They can be pulled apart, and the strength and the integrity of their relationships can be threatened. That's human imperfections. But what we do when that happens is what is important. And what we do is pretty much beginning. That's first step, what the apostles did. very first step. I'm going to say this, and I have to be very careful how I say, I wrote this down, but I want to say it. The congregation chose 7 people to help solve this problem based on the guidelines the apostles gave. At least one of the deacons selected was from the group that had felt discriminated against. Nicholas, a convert from Antioch, was a Greek who converted to Christianity at a time when the gospel had only been made available to the Hebrews. I'm not exactly sure what our president was doing standing in front of St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C. a couple of days ago and taking photos with the Bible. The Bible is not a tool to affirm some stupid, imperfect human position. The Bible is the unadulterated, uncompromising word of the living God. And it is offensive to have anyone, I don't care who they are, it is offensive to have anyone use it for a political or flawed human leadership purpose. This is not politics. Human lives is way beyond politics. What we do with the human imperfections in our systems is far more important than anything we try to do to preserve our interests, protect maybe what has existed. I'm going to try to close this particular session and we'll pray this prayer here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I've not covered a lot of the ground, but thank God the Lord has helped us touch a little bit. I also haven't read, I wanted to read this powerful letter from this pastor out in the Midwest. A very powerful letter where he actually said some things that believers can do in addition to praying. And I love that he gave some good background. I gotta stop. Pray, learn, march in peaceful protest, fight corrupt systems, vote, and all of that. And I'll get to read it sometime. I want us to close though. Bear with me. It's already 9:02. So don't turn me off. Let's pray this prayer together. I want us to pray this prayer for true justice together before we close. But just before I lead us in that prayer. Discrimination, injustice, racism, unfairness, inequalities must not be condoned at any level. We must speak up against it. We must take our place as believers, stand our ground on the word of God, and root out that evil spirit. And then we must do whatever little we can do to encourage reconciliation. First of all, encourage the voices of those that feel discriminated against to be heard. Play our part in that. And we must have a shared passion in that. That's what's called empathy. Praise God. We may not have lost anyone. Our sons may not have been killed. Thank you, Lord, for that. And we may not have our daughters in the role of the young woman in Louisville, Kentucky, who was killed in her own apartment in the middle of the night. We may not have experienced any of those things, but we ought to have a shared passion with those who have. We ought to have compassion. We ought to look at what the root is and look at the system and look at the broad situation that is prevalent in our society and play our godly role to help stand against it. Now, once we've done that, we're ready to take the next step. This is very important. We must not be silent. Because to be silent is to be complicit. We must not be uncomfortable to talk about it. We must not say, well, you know, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to come across and sound like I believe everything they believe. No, no, that's not what we're talking about. The apostles didn't go that far. The apostles just said, if there's discrimination, we've got to root it out. And they did the right thing. I've just told you three major things they did. And they rooted it out. And look at what happened. The church came alive. The glory of God came upon that church like never before. So, as we close tonight, I want us to pray this prayer together. Again, like I said, shoot us an email and I'll make sure one of our ministers sends it out to you if you want that email from YouVersion. But I'm gonna lead that prayer and I want you to pray with me. It's a prayer for true justice. Wherever you are, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts are heavy, broken. Please give us eyes to see and ears to hear where your Spirit is working. Help us to see every person the way that you see them. Break our hearts for what breaks yours, God. Let us not merely say that we love each other. Give us strength to mourn with those who mourn. Give us grace to weep with those who weep. Let your justice roll like waters. Let your righteousness and your love flow from us like rivers of living water. Purify our hearts, Lord, and fill us with genuine hunger for justice, for mercy, and for true peace. Heavenly Father, let justice and mercy start with me. In Jesus' mighty name we ask, amen. Amen. I thank you so much for being with us tonight in this service. I hope and I trust God that your heart received the kindling of the Holy Spirit, even regarding some of these sensitive, delicate issues that we discussed tonight. I pray that the Lord will give you more illumination as you study, as you pray. Remember, pray first. Be salt. Be light. And let's be a part of the solution. And let's not be a part of the problem. Let me pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for my brothers and my sisters that have joined us for this service tonight. I give you praise, oh God, for your mighty presence amongst us. I know the time is never enough and for such an important ministry that we had tonight. Certainly, there was no way the time would have been sufficient. But I thank you for the little that has been said. I thank you for what has been touched, what has been discussed. Now, Holy Spirit, take your place. Have your way. Move upon the hearts of men and women and young people. Let something good, something glorious, something mighty, something godly come out of this service tonight. Like something glorious came out of the experience in the Acts of the Apostles when the apostles did what was right. Let something glorious come out from these situations we're dealing with in our nation. I thank you, precious Lord. I give you all the glory, and I give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen.